Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we have kind of a serious, well, we always, most of the time we have a serious topic, most of the time, but we have kind of a serious topic tonight. So as we begin, I would like to begin with an unserious, funny video. So I saw this on Facebook somewhere, and I don't know how many times I've laughed. This guy is a chef. He's preparing his soup. He's seasoning the soup. I just say to you, keep your eyes on his ladle, okay? And then go ahead and watch. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you what, that's too funny. He was trying to season the soup without putting that ladle back down in there for the last time. So. Anyway, all right, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I got a kick out of that. You have your Bible tonight. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you will. Praise God. Amen. How many know the Bible says that the Lord is at work in you and I? In Philippians 2:13, it says he's at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He's at work in you. He's performing his work in you and I. Glory to God. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I said, God is up to something good in you and I. And here in John chapter 15, we're going to go from 7 to 11. I'll explain some of the other verses, but for the sake of time, we're going to read verses 7 through 11. And I present to you this first point. I'm going to make 3 points to you tonight. This first point is the challenge of what God's doing in your life. The challenge of it. Everybody say the challenge. There's a challenge. Verse John 15:7. You know, I like to read New American Standard, and so from verse 7 it says, Jesus doing the talking here, of course, if, everybody say if. Yeah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We could drop the mic right there, go on home, but let's go on. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Verse 7 again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The challenge is what we're talking about. I submit to you, I'm going to talk about three areas tonight, and God's at work in our life, and he's doing something in your life, in my life, in one, if not all of these three areas. And It helps us to know what the Lord is doing, where he's working, how he's working on us, what his will and plan and desire for our lives is, because that's the way that we can become pleasing to him. And here Jesus makes this amazing promise that seems almost too good to be true. This promise, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it shall be done unto you. That's an amazing, amazing promise. And yet the condition is abiding. The key word here is to abide. And when you read the verses above, like verse 1 says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You know what God wants from your life, from my life? He wants you and I to produce fruit. I wish I could get a bigger amen than that. I said, God, he wants to see the result of fruit produced in your life and my life. And the thing about it is when we produce fruit, God then wants us to grow. He prunes us. He cuts us back, if you will. Why? So that we can produce even more fruit. The goal is not to just produce fruit one time. The God's goal in your life and my life is that we produce increasingly higher amounts of fruit. And so God's at work in us. And Jesus said, if you'll abide in me and let my word abide in you, you'll be so connected to me. You can ask what you want and it will be done. And so God, one of the things he's doing, he wants us to abide in him. If we abide in him, then listen, we can't abide in him and get out of love. Let me say it that way. Can I get an amen there? You know why I say that? Because he said down there at verse 9, he said, abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. So we can't say that we're abiding in him if we're not walking in love. I can only get two amens there. I said we have to walk in love to abide in him. Amen. And when we get out of love, we have to recognize that we're not abiding in him when we get out of love. He said this, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You could say it this way, when we lose our joy, we're not abiding in him. You can't get no amen when you teach serious like this. We're talking about the challenge of what God's up to in your life, in my life. There's a challenge to it all because he wants us to produce fruit. And when we produce fruit, then there's a pruning process so that we can grow even more. Paul said to the Galatians this way, until Christ be formed in every area of your life. I said, God's at work. He's up to something good. And yet to abide in him, we have to obey him. We have to walk in love. We have to walk in joy. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5 and 22. We're talking about this first point, the challenge of what God's doing in our life. We're going over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I'm going to read verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let me tell you, God wants to see this kind of fruit developed in your life, developed in my life. The real mark of our maturity as believers, as growth as believers, is how well are we doing in these areas? Amen. And so love, walking in love, as I say, joy, walking in joy. What is joy? You know, joy is a spiritual feeling that's produced by the Holy Spirit. Joy is not a natural feeling. If you're comparing joy as a natural feeling, you're thinking of happiness. Because happiness, you know, things can bring you happiness. Having things, buying things, that can bring you a certain amount of happiness. That can't bring you joy, not Bible joy. Bible joy has one source. His name is Jesus. And so Bible joy, biblical joy, it's a spiritual feeling produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not based on any natural thing that we have. It comes from Christ and Christ alone. And listen, and it accompanies, spiritual joy is to accompany our faith. And when we allow spiritual joy to accompany our faith, it won't be long before we see manifestations of what we're believing for. I said, amen. I said, if you want to see a manifestation of what you're believing for, don't lose your joy. And joy, see, we should have joy. Joy isn't based on circumstance. I said, joy has a source. The only source of joy for the Christian is Christ. He's our source of joy. And so because you can't get joy from a Cadillac, you can't get joy from a BMW, you can't get joy from a Jaguar, that might make you happy. But that can't produce joy, Bible joy. Bible joy, you can be broke as you want to be and have joy. Can't get no amen teaching like that. Bible joy, your bank account may not be at the figure you want it to be, but you can walk around with joy. I said, when you have Bible joy, you may not see the manifestation yet in your body, but you have joy down on the inside of you. Bible joy, you're not looking at the outside, you're looking from the inside, you're looking from an inside perspective. And when you can maintain your joy as a Christian, it says a lot about your own spiritual growth in Christ, about your ability to abide in him. Because when things distract you or I, and then we let that rob our joy, look out. Got some growth to do there. The master gardener is going to be working in the garden. He's going to be pruning and cutting back. Trimming us back. Why? So that we'll be able to grow in that area. What are you saying, preacher? God don't want you to lose your joy. I said, you should have joy as a believer. Whatever it is, you should have joy. You should maintain your Bible. Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. When he wrote that in Philippians, he was in a prison cell maintaining his joy. They were in the middle, in Acts 16, in the middle of their second missionary journey. They had gotten over there to Macedonia and gotten beaten and arrested for preaching the word of God. But they learned how to maintain their joy right there in the midst of that prison cell. The Bible said, Acts 16, 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas started singing praises unto God. They knew something about Bible joy. Happiness is fleeting. That'll come and go. Nothing wrong with that. That's all right. But let me tell you, when you got joy, you got it all. Happiness will come in on after the train. If you maintain that train of joy, happiness will come in on that same track. And so what about, you know, he mentions there 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace. Man, peace is so powerful. Being able to maintain that sense of calm, that spiritual feeling of peace in the midst of chaos. You can be around stressful situations and God will put you in the eye of the storm. He'll just give you peace like a river. Anybody ever been there? God can give you peace. You say, I'm facing a situation, I'm facing a crisis in my life tonight. God's got peace for you. He's got spiritual peace. And peace can rock you to sleep. His peace can keep you steady in the midst of the storm. His peace can comfort you. And you may not see your manifestation yet, but peace can be all over you. Amen. Amen. Being able to walk in peace is a sign of our own ability to abide in him. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. Thank God your mind. I said, peace. Bible peace will see you through. Glory be to God. And as an aspect of our ability to abide in him, our ability to abide in Christ is connected to our ability to walk in peace. It's connected to our ability to walk in joy. It's connected to our ability to walk in love. And I said, God is working on some aspect of this in your life, in my life. There's another one that says patience there. How many know what patience is? The ability to accept delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry, upset, or complaining. Uh-oh. Some of you will need patience before you get home tonight. You let somebody cut you off in traffic. Let's see how patient you are. Let somebody get the last item that was on sale. They go and get it just before you got it. We got to see your patience there. How upset are you getting? How angry are you getting? How much complaining are you doing? See, if you are, God's trying to work in you. You can't get no amen teaching a sermon like this. I said, God is trying to work in you. He's trying to develop fruit in you. Amen. And he's not going to leave us alone. He won't leave us alone. And so we might as well yield to him. Amen. And so we have need of patience after that we've done the will of God. Because patience, let me tell you, we inherit the promises through faith and patience. Self-control is mentioned in that list. Did you notice that? Self-control is mentioned in that list. What's that? The ability to control ourselves. Self-control is the ability to say no. There's a long list of stuff he mentions there, envying, strife, and jealousy, and adultery, and drunkenness. And he mentions a lot of stuff that we should say no to, but it also means, you know, sometimes that extra piece of pie. Or that piece of pie. When the Lord's telling us, say no. You can't get no amen teaching no sermon like this. I got all my amens out walking around in my living room praying out this message, so I got all my amens. I walked around in a circle for a half hour saying, yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, amen. Lord, I didn't get no amen when I got here. The ability to say no, the ability to control ourselves. Self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And see, we can shrug him off, but if you shrug him off, you're going to miss something about abiding in him. If you shrug him off, you're not abiding in him. You can't override him and then say, I'm abiding in the Lord. To abide in him, we have to listen. And the thing about it, it's different for each of us. See, what he's doing in your life may be something totally different he's doing in my life. You understand? So I don't have time to be paying attention to what he's doing in my life. I got to spend all my time and effort paying attention to what the Lord's doing in my life. I don't have time to pay attention to what he's doing in your life. God bless you for what the Lord is doing in your life. I'll pray for you. But I ain't got time to be paying attention to you. I'm too busy. I want to be pleasing to him. So this ability, the fruit of the Spirit, I tell you, this is connected to our own ability to abide in him. And of course, all of this is the challenge. It's the challenge of what God's doing. Where is he working at in your life? Let me ask you this. Where does he want to work in your life? Where have you overridden him? Oh, there's a challenge to it all. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews. Let me make my second point to you. There's a challenge to it. There's a challenge to it. My second point is the correction. The challenge of what he's doing. That's what we were doing in John 15, 7 through 11. Now here, we're in Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. And we're talking about the correction. The challenge of what he's doing, the correction. The Lord loves you and I, and he won't leave us alone. As Philippians 1:6 said, you know, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if necessary, he'll correct you and I. And Christian people today don't like to hear that. Correction is a word nobody wants to hear. People today are hard, not you, not this crowd, but people today in general are hard, are not teachable and not as teachable. Let me say it that way. Sometimes people are not as teachable. And with the Lord, sometimes he's trying to teach his son, his daughter something. And the question is, how yielded are we being? But listen, if we don't abide in him, ultimately he'll correct you and I. You can't get no amen teaching like this. I said, the Lord sent me here. He said, where did you get this sermon? Praying? Asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to share when I speak Sunday night? Oh, the challenge of it all. The correction. Sometimes he has to correct us. And let me tell you this, any loving father will never be afraid to correct his son and daughter. You will miss something. You will miss something. If as a child you're not corrected, you will grow as an adult and you will miss a whole area of your life. There are people who are adults who walk around like spoiled brats. They walk around with a sense of entitlement like the world owes them everything, and they were not corrected when they were small. You can't get no amen teaching like that. But God is he's a good father. He's a great father. And let me tell you, he will correct us. Where did I say 7 through 11? We're in Hebrews 12 now, 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. Discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I tell you, if we stop abiding, when we don't abide in Christ, he has to correct us. I said, amen. I wish I could get one amen here. He will correct you and I. And see, the thing is, aren't you glad? The Father, he's not disciplining us with sickness and disease. Thank God. What earthly father would discipline a child with sickness and disease? That's child abuse. If an earthly father would be willing to put sickness on a child, that'd be child abuse. Yeah. So thank God. No. What do we have? We have his word and we have his spirit. We have his rod and we have his staff. I wish I could get an amen here. I'm trying to go faster. His rod and his staff, his word and his spirit. God will correct us with his word. I said amen. He will correct us through the Holy Spirit. And so it's very important that listen, if we stop abiding, and see, it's possible to abide in the Lord in one area and not abide in another area. Can I get an amen there? You said, is there any laughter in this sermon? I gave you the laughter at the very beginning. There's no more laughter. Okay, all the laughter we're going to have in this sermon, I gave it to you in that first opening clip. Show the clip again. No, I'm kidding. No. So listen, if we stop abiding in some area, then the Lord, he's going to lovingly correct us. He's going to lovingly bring us home. The Bible says this, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loved us before we were lovely. The Bible says in another place, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad that he's a kind father? But correction. Let's go real quick down to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is the story of Eli and his sons. And of course, Samuel is just a boy working in the temple. And Eli is the leader, the priest, if you will, and he's in charge, and he has his sons. They're working in the temple. They're working in the house of God. But these people, they were incorrectible. Let me say that. They were uncorrectable. Verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord and the custom of the priests with the people. That's 1 Samuel 2:12. 1 Samuel 2:17 says, thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. That meant that they were stealing. It's too long a story to tell, but they were basically stealing the offerings. They were working in the house of God, and they were stealing offerings from the house of God. But let me tell you this, the Lord, he is our shepherd from the pulpit to the pew. And he's not going to put up with that out of the pulpit. He ain't going to put up with that out of the pew. I said, God will lovingly correct his people. When we stop abiding in some area, then we have to be sensitive to his correction, his ability to correct us. He lovingly, like a loving dad, he lovingly will bring us home. But we have to listen. And see here, they didn't listen. They were stealing the offerings. If you go down to 22, it says, Eli was very old, heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with the women and served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And so not only were they stealing the offerings, they were sleeping with the women. And Eli wasn't doing anything to correct it. And see, the Lord's trying to correct them. The Lord's trying to correct them, but Eli wouldn't let him correct him. He wouldn't listen. He kept overriding the Lord. I won't go there, but the next chapter, God tells him, you've honored your sons above me. You're listening to your sons more than you listen to me. I'm trying to correct you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to bring you home. I'm not home, not trying to kill you. God said, I'm trying to correct you in a loving way, trying to straighten out the sin and the folly. But Eli wouldn't listen. And his sons wouldn't listen. And when you read the rest of the story, you see a terrible demise. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Listen, the correction of the Lord is very, very important, that you and I learn how to submit ourselves when the Lord wants to correct you and I. And sometimes we act and live as if, well, there's no correction. There's no such thing as correction. But let me tell you, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of the Lord. And just because he's not you, thank God he's not using sickness and disease. He's using his word and his spirit, as I've already said. But God, he loves us enough. He loves us so much that he won't leave us alone. And so what we have to do is listen to him. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. You need to listen to God. He's trying to get your attention. He loves you so much. And he wants you to listen. Don't override him. Don't shrug him off tonight. And so the correction of the Lord is so very important. And so remember, the challenge of the Lord is important. The correction of the Lord is important. The third one, the last one, the compassion of the Lord. Go with me to Luke 15. Luke 15 now. Luke 15. What do you think our references are? We had John 15, 7 through 11. We had Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Where do you think we're going now? We're in Luke 15. Where do you think we're going? 7 through 11. There you go. Luke 15, 7 through 11. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Verse 11, and he said, a man had two sons. And he goes on and he tells the story about the prodigal son. And Jesus tells the story about how the younger son asks for his half of the inheritance. And the Bible says he goes out into riotous living. And he leaves home, going his own way, doing his own thing. He knew the right thing to do. He knew the right way to live, but he went out and did his own thing, living his own way. And the Bible says that a great famine occurred. And he squandered all of his wealth, all of his money was squandered away until he had nothing. And he was working working around pigs with pig slop, hoping to get some of the pods the pigs were eating. And the Bible says that he came to himself. Verse 17 says he came to himself one day and he said, you know, if I go home and just admit I've been wrong, just tell my father what I did. If I'll go home and just be honest, if I'll go home and just come clean to my father, he'll accept me back. And he said, I won't be worthy to be treated like a son. He said, but I'll go home and tell my father what I did. And if he treats me like one of the hired servants, at least I'll have a full meal. I'll be glad to be treated like a hired servant. And the Bible says that the father was looking for him a long way off. At verse 20, that when he started making his way home, the Bible said the father saw him from a long way off. The father was looking for him, in other words. The father was looking on the horizon for him. The father was expecting him to come home. He was looking on the horizon. He was searching for him. He was looking for him until he saw the silhouette of his son coming home. And when he came home, he came clean. He admitted what he did. And he told his father, we're talking about the compassion now, the compassion. He told his father what he did. And his father said, he told the hired servants, he said, go and get a robe. And put a new robe on him. Oh, for somebody here, for somebody listening, God's got a robe of righteousness for you. You're thinking that you've messed things up too bad. You've gone the other way. You know exactly what this story represents. and you feel like you messed up too bad, but oh, God's got a robe of righteousness. He's just waiting on you to put that robe on you. The father in this story says, go get a ring. Get that ring of authority. Put it on his finger. Oh, I tell you, the Bible says in Lamentations 3 that that the compassions of the Lord are new every morning. 3:22. The compassions of the Lord, the compassions of the Lord are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Aren't you glad? And so God, he is a good God. And if he's speaking to you in this place, he's wanting to help you. He's wanting to heal you. I'll tell you what, the compassion. There is the challenge of it all. There is that sense of challenge. There is the correction. We're talking now about the compassion of the Lord. And the Lord, I know there's some people that are listening. God's been speaking to you. God's been encouraging you. God's been, listen, a famine has come. For somebody, you're like in a famine. Something has dried up. You're in some kind of storm. But let me tell you this. If, you know, when we stop abiding in him, when we fail to abide in the Lord, it's like God's got a big old umbrella. And what happens is when we stop abiding in the Lord, we get out from under that umbrella. And guess what? If it's raining and God's got a big old umbrella to cover you and you get out from under that umbrella, guess what? You're going to get wet. And so for somebody, God is saying, it's time to come on back under this umbrella. God's telling somebody, he's beckoning somebody to come on home. The scripture says about the prodigal son that he said in verse 18 of Luke 15, he said, I'll get up and go to my father. He said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go home. I'm going to get up and go to my father. God's saying to somebody, listen, get up and come on home. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to renew you. And if you'll listen to him, because something's going on in your heart, something's going on in your life, and if you'll listen to the Lord, he'll help you right now here tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we've spoken about the challenge as a believer. Oh, the thrill of knowing that you are our shepherd, that you've made us the promise if we would abide in you, let your word abide in us. We could ask what we will and it would be done unto us. The challenge of knowing that you prune us to growth. You cause us to grow, like it says in 1 Peter 2, 2:2, that as newborn babes, you want us to grow. And yet, Father, sometimes we have to face the correction. The correction. So we know you're talking to someone here tonight. And then, oh, thank you for your compassion. Your compassions. Father God, even with the woman, she was caught in the act of adultery. After you gave the admonition to the Pharisees and scribes. You asked if there was anybody to condemn her. She said, no one, Lord. You said, go and sin no more. Father, thank you for your compassions. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And we know you're speaking to someone's heart, Father God. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you know you're not living right, and maybe you've never received Christ into your life, ushers, I want you to help me here. Every other head is bowed and eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, this is a great night. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. You may be watching or listening some other way and you've never received Jesus. We're going to pray in a minute. We want you to get ready to pray. Get ready to receive him. But if you're here tonight and you know the Lord's tugging at you, he said this in his word, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He said, today is the acceptable day. And if you hear the word today, don't harden your heart. You might be here in this service tonight, and maybe you know what it means to have given your life to Christ, but for whatever reason, whatever has happened, you know you're not living for Christ tonight. You know you've gone your own way. Let me see your hand. You say, that's me, Brother Bill. I know that I need to get right with God tonight. I know I need to make things right. Lift your hand high where I can see your hand. I want to make it right tonight. I want to get right with the Lord tonight. I want things to be right. There's the challenge of the Lord where he helps us grow. There's his correction where he corrects us if we get out of line. There's his compassion when he's searching. Like he said in the story, thank you, I see your hand. He said in the story, the shepherd, if the shepherd loses a sheep, he'll leave the 99 and the shepherd will go looking for one. God's looking for somebody tonight. There's something going on in your heart. The Lord, he's tugging at you. The shepherd, he's come off, he's hanging on the edge of the cliff where you are to bring you home. And if you'll listen to him, oh, you're going to be so blessed. You're going to be so blessed. This is what I want you to do. If I'm speaking to you, if the Lord is speaking to you, I just want you to, on the count of three, I just want you to stand up on your feet. Just boldly stand up on your feet. You know God's dealing with your heart. He's tugging at you. He loves you so much. Just right there at home, however you're listening, just stand right up on your feet. Are you ready? One, just get ready. Your life is going to change. Two, three. Now just stand up on your feet. Just boldly stand up on your feet. Just boldly stand up. Come on. Just boldly stand up on your feet. You know God's dealing with you. And now I want you to step out in the aisle. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. Oh, God's going to help you tonight. God's going to help you tonight. Those of you who are listening some other way or you're watching some other way, God's going to help you. He's going to help you. Oh, come on. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. You say, how do you know? Well, we know through prayer. God bless you. We know through prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just come on and let the Lord help you. Come on and let him help you. Hallelujah. You know he's dealing with you. He loves you so much. You're the apple of his eye. There's nothing God wouldn't do to help you. Come on and let him help you. You say, yeah, just praying. Just praying. Asking the Lord about the altar call. Oh, hallelujah. God cares so much about you. He cares so much. There's somebody else in here. Come on, let God help you. Don't resist him. Don't keep pushing back on him. You don't know what you face tomorrow. Get out of the rain. He's saying to you, come on down here. Get out of the rain. Oh, his compassions are new every morning. And he's going to help you in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to make one more appeal. You know, there's somebody else in here. God's talking to you. Come on. He's talking to you. He wants to help you. He loves you. Oh, and if you'll let him, stop resisting him. Come on, stop resisting him. Oh, the Lord loves you so much. He loves you so much. Oh, he's going to help you. He's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to do just what we said. I want to thank you all for responding to the Lord. That's the Lord. Oh, God's got something so good for you. He's got something so good, so good, so good. Oh, man, so good. I want you just to lift one hand to him. Just lift one hand to him. That's your way of saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm responding to you. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And in the congregation, just stretch your hands toward these precious people. And here up front, just repeat this prayer out loud after me. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you just repeat this prayer out loud. Father, I come. That's right. Say it again. Father, I come. Yes, in the name of Jesus. And I present myself to you. Yes, I come humbly to you, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me, to cleanse me. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word. You said if I would confess my sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. from all unrighteousness. And now, based upon your word, I'm coming home. I'm going to abide in Christ. And I thank you for turning it around. I thank you for touching me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, for making me whole. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for forgiving and restoring, for healing and renewing. And from this day forward, I will live completely for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, stand up on your feet in the congregation and here, lift both hands to the Lord and let's worship God in this place. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We reverence you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you, Father. You're a savior. You're a healer. You're a deliverer. Thank you for touching every single one. May their lives never be the same. May their lives never be the same. May it never be the same. Whoa, Father, may they mark this day on their calendar. May they mark this day down on the calendar. Whoa, that there's a great turnaround. Hallelujah. There's a great breakthrough in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. May they mark this day, Father God. They'll never be the same. Never be the same. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father God. They're going to never, 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 never be the same. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for joy in the presence of God. Thank you for joy in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. This is Brother Tracy. He's a minister of righteousness. He's our prayer room coordinator tonight. And I want you all to go with Tracy. He's going to give you free materials. He and his team are going to answer any questions that you have. You're not going to leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. This is a happy day. Oh, happy day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Glory be to God. God's got good things in store for you. You know that, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, happy day. He's got good things in store for you. You're going to be so glad you came. Oh, happy day. He's got great things in store. You'll be so glad that you came. Hallelujah. Come on now. Let's celebrate our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. No, we're not looking with eyes of condemnation. We're looking with eyes of celebration. I said, you can do better than that. The Bible says there's joy. Woo! Woo! There's joy in heaven. When one person repents, there's joy all over heaven. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. If that don't bring you joy, something's wrong. I said, that ought to bring you joy. Hallelujah. We ought to sing something. Y'all got something we can sing? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, just lift up a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.